I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it being 2017. Hallelujah. It's kind of weird, though, isn't it? You know, it's kind of strange. You know, I remember when everybody was going, 1980, ooh. And now it's 2017. That's like, whoa. Hallelujah. But God has sustained us and he has brought us through. And how awesome the journey has been. Many ups and downs, many amazing experiences. The life that we have all lived is one that is worthy of a book. Hallelujah. Think about that. And God is able to do great things. How he has brought us from darkness into light, the word of God says. And that is a miraculous, amazing thing. And we've been talking about over these past few months the gift of God and how God is our gift and how Jesus is the very gift of life. And today we begin our new series on transition and how God has transitioned us from darkness into light. How he's moving us from old things and making things new. And we are using and talking about our Nehemiah 52 theme, our theme of Nehemiah as we enter into this season of fasting and praying. Hallelujah. I didn't hear anything about that. But I think it starts tomorrow, isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we begin to fast and pray that God would lead us through this year and he would strengthen us. He would provide for us. He would make a way for us. That he would transition us into more of himself. That we would become more and more like Jesus. And so God is looking to change us, to make us more like him. You know, the more you spend time with God, the more you change.
Yes.
You know, the more you spend time reading his word and praying and just seeking his will and asking of God and communing with God, the more you begin to change. It is impossible to have an encounter with God and stay the same.
Amen.
You see anyone who is the same today as they were last year, that person has not had an encounter with God. And that person is not really walking with God. Because when you walk with God, he changes you.
Amen.
He changes you. And that's just the way it is. Proverbs says, bad company corrupts good morals. Isn't that right? And if you hang around the wrong people, then you become like them. And if they're evil, you'll become evil too. You'll find yourself in situations you don't want to be in just because you're around the wrong people. And God says, if you spend time with him, then you'll become like him. And you will find yourself becoming more and more like Jesus. And the attributes of God will become more and more part of your life. You will see the fruit of the Spirit of God. I call it the evidence of God in your life. The evidence of God in your life. You become more loving, become more patient, kinder, gentler. You have more of a heart for service unto the Lord. And your life is changed. And so we are going to look in the book of Nehemiah. We're going to look at this story, this amazing story of how God has brought the city of Jerusalem out of the ashes into a place of restoration. And so we're going to begin in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And this is a picture of how our lives have been. Many of us have had lives that have been broken down. We were in captivity. We found ourselves in bondage, in oppression, and just the trials and the challenges of life were just a burden to us and so overwhelming and so difficult. Hard relationships, hard experiences, hard just encounters of life. Some of us have endured sickness, and we've endured pain and suffering of all types, emotional and all kinds of oppression and bondage. And maybe others have mistreated us. But God has brought us through. And God will continue to bring us through. And we just must learn how to recognize the hand of God in our lives. In order to benefit from the transition and the changes that are taking place in our life as we spend time with God, we are able to see what God is doing. And the more you spend time with God, the more you're able to see and recognize God working in your life. The more you're able to recognize that you are not just drifting, you're not just going along, but God is ordering your steps. That's what God does. The Word of God says, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And that means God causes you to go the way He wants you to go. He causes you to have experiences so that you can determine how you are going to proceed. Every juncture that you face in life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to do right or to do wrong, to either honor God or to miss God. But the choice is always there. And it doesn't matter if it's a phone call or if it is an experience in the mall. We have an opportunity to honor God. And this city of Jerusalem was in distress. It was in a place of destruction, because you remember Daniel in the lion's den and that whole season where the Babylonian captivity had taken place. This is the time period where they were coming out of those days. And so the restoration was about to begin, and the city was in great destruction. And so he goes on, Nehemiah says, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I would submit to you, before you can really accomplish any great work before the Lord, it takes fasting and praying.
Hallelujah.
You have to be able to recognize and hear the words of the Lord. As God begins to open Nehemiah's eyes, he sees the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. He recognizes there is a need here that needs to be done. And as a result, he begins to weep and mourn because he sees how things are broken down. And so often, things are broken down all around us and we don't even see it. We don't even recognize it. I was talking to my sister the other day, and my wife, and we were talking about her doing some renovations, and we were talking about how important it is to be able to see your space in the reality of what it is. And so my wife had some pictures, and she was showing some pictures of the space, and they were like, whoa, I didn't realize I had this much stuff over here, and I didn't realize I had that much clutter over there. And seeing the picture helped them to realize the changes that needed to take place to make things the way they ought to be. And saints of God, that's what God does. He brings us to a place in our lives where we begin to see that there is clutter, that there is situations and circumstances going on that need to change in our lives in order to make things better. And until you're able to recognize that you need to change, then you will never benefit from the benefits of being a Christian, of being a part of the family of God. The first step to progress is recognizing a need to change, being able to see that you need to do something different. You need something to happen. Well, we've all seen that show, The Hoarders, right? Hoarders. And these people are living in houses and homes, and there's stuff everywhere. I saw one episode where you couldn't even get in the front door, and they finally were able to squeeze into the front door, but there was so much stuff, they had to crawl through a little hole in order to get through the house. And the house was a maze of tunnels because they had so much stuff. And when they tried to clean it up, the people were fighting for stuff they didn't even know they had in the house until they saw it. And then they're going, oh, I just have to have that. It's like, you didn't even know it was there. It's been there so many years. How many years has it been since this space was even usable to put stuff in it? And so often our lives are so filled with clutter that we don't realize that it's us who needs to change. And so often we see this problem and that problem. We see this and that. And really, it's us. We're the hoarders. We're holding on to things that we need to let go. And that is what is called forgiveness. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
We need to forgive. We need to let go. We need to start afresh. We need to start new. We need to transition. We need to do a work in order to bring about restoration so that the hand of God can be manifested in our lives. And so Nehemiah is fasting and praying because he saw the need. And I like to use it as a theme today, seeing the need. Seeing the need. Recognizing the call of God to do a good work. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask God that you would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Lord God, let my words not be from me, but let your words flow through me. Oh God, help us to speak life and to enable those around us to come to know you more and more. That even as we spend time with you, we too would change and transition into the men and women of God that you have called us to be. That we would reflect Christ himself in this lost and dying world. And Lord, we pray for all those who are hearing your word today that you may be working in them, that they may be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. And so in the book of Nehemiah, we see that the situation is that they're coming out of this Babylonian captivity. And Nehemiah and the book of Ezra kind of tie in together, and it's even in some writings, a part of Chronicles. And it's the end of a 70-year reign. It's this reign of the oppressors has come where they, not really reign, but a bondage that they were in, where they were under the dominion of these captives, the Babylonians. You remember Daniel was under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And then Cyrus took over of Persia, and there was the Persian Empire. You know, if you're a student of world history, you probably know something about this, and how King Cyrus was the one who said, you know, we're going to let the Israelites go back home, and they're going to be able to go back to wherever they came from when Nebuchadnezzar conquered them, and they're going to go back and restore their homes and their houses. But they could only do but so much. And so this King Cyrus started it, and then Ahasuerus and then Artaxerxes, who was in the king at the time of Nehemiah, he then allowed all of this to happen, to begin to come together. And this is the story of how Nehemiah saw how the city of Jerusalem needed to be restored. Because people were just getting themselves together, and they were slowly migrating back into the city. And so when this began to happen, Nehemiah recognized, wow, this is a terrible, terrible thing. War has desecrated the city, and it has been destroyed. And the walls were completely torn down, and all of their protection and all of the glory of the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. And so God put the burden on the heart of Nehemiah. And so often we have burdens on our heart. And the question is, do you have a burden from the Lord to see restoration? Do you have a burden on your heart to see things come together, to see things progress, to see things move forward, to better your life, to better your relationships, maybe your family, maybe your job, maybe even the community around you. Do you see a need that needs to be met? Well, that's what Nehemiah saw. He saw the need of a city that needed to be repaired. It was in desolation. And his job was the cupbearer. He was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. And you know, that's a pretty risky job, the cupbearer. The cupbearer's job was the guy, he sampled all of the things that the king would drink in case it had poison in it. And so he was the guy. So everywhere the king went, he had his cupbearer with him. And he would take this cup and he would pour whatever there was he had to drink in it. And he would say, here, you take it first. And if you live, then I'll drink it. Hallelujah. I guess he wasn't really a germaphobe or anything, right? Because he was able to share the cup. Some people can't share cups. I'm not one of those people. I can share cups. Hallelujah. And so there he is. It's a risky job. He's in this position, in this place that is risky. And so he becomes a trusted advisor and confidant of the king. The king trusts him. Why? Because, listen, this guy's putting his life on the line for the king. And that's what God has called us to do. We put ourselves on the line for the cause of Christ, our king. And every day we experience various situations and circumstances, and we see things going on, and we have experiences. And sometimes we respond based on our own feelings. And we say, oh, you hurt my feelings. Whoa, I didn't like that. Or oh, you know, you did this to me, or you did that to me. But God says, no, you represent me. What they've done to the least of my little ones, you've done it unto the Lord. And so we don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to fight for ourselves. It is God who fights for us. Hallelujah. God makes provision for us. He will make way for us. Yes, when people do evil against us, we all have had experiences where bad things happen to us from various sources, but we do not retaliate or take matters into our own hands. We say, God, help us. Lord God, even Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so the king has his trusted advisor, is the person who's his confidant, and that man is Nehemiah. And his characteristics, what has been said of him historically, is that he was a man of humility. Nehemiah was a man of integrity. He was a man of patriotism. He was zealous. He had piety and unselfishness. He was a man who cared, and he was a man who had a heart for God. And he was a man who people could trust to get the job done. Don't you want friends like that? Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. You know, they say a good man is hard to find. Isn't that right? And it doesn't matter if you're an employer or if you're a woman looking for a husband, right? A good man is hard to find. Why? Because it's hard to find people who have humility and integrity, who have patriotism and are zealous and piety. They love God and they want to serve the Lord and they're unselfish. Most relationship problems are because of unselfishness or lack of unselfishness, because people have to have their own way. Somebody wants their way and they're unwilling to change. But when you spend time with God, you become more flexible. You become more able and willing to change, to see things from a different perspective, and to do things differently. And as we enter into this new year, we want to be able to experience change. In verse 6, he goes on, he says, let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you, and I and my father's house have sinned. You see, Nehemiah is praying for the people. Now, I just showed you what kind of man he was. So certainly, this level of depravity is not him, but he is taking it upon himself. And that's what Jesus did, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. Jesus himself wasn't a sinner. Jesus himself was a righteous man. He did what was right and what is good. And so to be like Christ is to be a person who does what is right and what is good, yet suffers as if he did not. And takes upon the burden of those around him and brings them, not to others to talk about him, but he brings them to God. And he begins to pray and he says, God, I and my father's house have sinned. We all have sinned. And isn't that what the word of God says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter how much you think you're right. There is some piece that is wrong. We all have a piece that is wrong. And we have to learn how to recognize and see our piece that is wrong. And the thing about God is, he said, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. So you could be only 1% wrong and everybody else 99% wrong. God says you're just as wrong as everybody else. You're a part of the wrong. And God says, I don't care who is wrong to the greater proportion, that wrong is just wrong, and I see the whole thing. I see the 100%. It's all wrong, and you're one of those in there. I think that's guilt by association. I don't know who it was who did it. I don't know who the person was who caused the problem, but I know it was one of yous in that group. And so everybody is in trouble. Now, my parents used to practice that rule. I told you that story. Oh, when no one would confess, everyone got a spanking. She just lied to everybody up. And then, one by one, my brothers or my sister would say, why don't you just admit it? Why don't you just admit it? As we're getting spankings going down the line. You know you did it. Why don't you just say you did it? And still, not a word, but that's how people are, isn't it? And they'll say, you know, it wasn't me. And it was you. It was you. And that's how people are. People are. You know, I saw you do it. Mm-mm. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I was watching some show and they had video of the guy. And he's like, that's not me. And they're like, what? That's you. He's like, no, that could be anybody. Everybody has a double somewhere in the world. I think that's my double right there. But that's not how it works. God says, I'm not even going to deal with that. All he is in there. All of yous. That's right. All of yous. And so we're all apart. And so we have to fess up and say, God, I have missed the mark. Lord, help me to be a person who is willing to fast and pray in order to bring about restoration, to bring about healing and renewal. He says, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. See, and this is really the condition of Israel today, isn't it? They're scattered amongst the nations. Why? Because they turned away from the laws of God and from the ways of the Lord. And that happened even at the time of Jesus. And so they've been scattered all around the world. And this is a picture of what happens when you are in rebellion against God. Things don't go right for us. It's not just the Israelites here. It's a picture of humanity and how when we don't do right, things don't go well. Things fall apart in your life. Things begin to crumble. Your family relationships or your job, you know, things begin to shake up in our lives because we're not right with God. And when you get right with God, God begins to bring all things together. Have you ever worked with somebody who's just a miserable person?
Amen.
Things aren't right in their life. Things aren't right. And when people are miserable, they want everybody to be miserable.
Amen.
They can't just be miserable. Okay, go over there. This is where the miserable people go. You go over there. And all the rest of us, we're the happy people. And we're just going to enjoy our lives. Wow, this is great. It's a great day, isn't it? Yeah. And the miserable people, there's always something. Right? Oh, yeah, that would have been good if this didn't happen or if that was going on. But God says you need to see the need and then do something. All right, so you see all the problems. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? God has enabled us to see. And when you have the right attitude and the right heart, then God will bring you together. He will restore you. And so Israel had sinned against God. They had missed God. And so God said, I am going to keep you in bondage for 70 years. And that began in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. We know how he came in. And then we see how now Artaxerxes has loosened the reins a little bit. And restoration is now taking place. And it began under Ezra. And Nehemiah now is finishing it up, and he is rebuilding the city. He says in verse 9, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what God will do for you. That's what he will do for me. He will cause things to come back together. He will draw in from the most remotest parts of heaven. He's like saying, out of this world. The things that are a problem for you, God has removed them from the universe, so you can't find them no matter how hard you try to look. No matter how hard you try to make things right. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to just make things right and things are so bad and you're just trying to get a fix on it, a handle on it, but you just can't seem to get things to work no matter how hard you try? It's because you didn't call on God. Because God removed the solution to your problem from the universe. It's not even in existence in the world. But when you call upon the name of the Lord, God causes that thing that you need to just show up. All of a sudden, the person you need to talk to, all of a sudden, the source of the problem gets resolved. All of a sudden, something just shifts. Something just changes. A person changes their mind about something. Just that simple. And all of a sudden, things are better. You know, sometimes it only takes one person to have a change of heart to cause everything around you to change.
Amen.
And become better.
Amen.
And that's what God has the power to do. And that's what he does. And that's why we fast and we pray. We call upon God because God knows who it is. And he will enable you to see and to know the one thing you need to do to cause things to shift. Or to change. And so God will bring it all together. He says, there they are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. It's a work of God. God works in our life. God is the one who changes us. God is the one who transitions us. He says, oh Lord, I beseech thee, or I beg you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. And the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name. And make your servant successful today. And grant him compassion before this man. Woo! Have you ever prayed a prayer like that before you had to talk to your boss? Yeah. You need a few days off. And maybe you're shorthanded. And chances of you getting that are just slim to none. You know, who's going to cover my job as the cupbearer? I don't think people are lining up to volunteer for that job. That's why Nehemiah had to fast and pray, because he had to get somebody has to cover the shift. Somebody has to do the work. Somebody has to carry out his responsibilities while he takes some time off. And so he's crying out to God first. Why? Because Proverbs says the king's heart is like putty in the hands of the Lord. It's like water, and he is able to steer it to wherever he wants it to go. The flow of the water where he wants it to go. So he calls on God. So he goes to the Lord. God is the source. In 2017, let God be the source of the change that needs to take place in your life. Rather than deal with men, go to God and let him touch the heart of the person you need to see changed. Go to God and let God do the work. I remember the story of how George Mueller said, I'm not asking any man for anything. I'm just going to pray and ask God. That's what he said. And that just sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it wasn't crazy, because I remember this story of how they had no food. And he had a whole bunch of kids. He was building orphanages. He had no food. And there was a shortage even of food. And he asked his wife, he said, set the table. And they set the table in the living room, and they had all the kids come around. I forget how many kids there were, 10 or 12 kids, I don't know, a bunch of kids. They came and they sat around the table, and he tells the story of how he began to pray, of how he began to bless the food that wasn't even there. And before he could finish praying, as he was wrapping up his prayer, there was a knock at the door. And guess who showed up? A guy who had a truck of bread that had broke down outside, and he couldn't make his deliveries, so he wanted to give the bread away. And he gave them all bread. But it didn't end there. That guy, he left. And they all gave thanks to God for the bread. They began to eat the bread, and there was another knock at the door. And this time, it was the milkman. The milkman had extra milk, and he didn't want it to spoil. So he said, can you guys use all this extra milk that I have? And he said, yes, we can. I have a bunch of young kids here that I need to feed. And guess what? They had milk. And so they were able to have a meal that night because they prayed and asked God and then gave thanks for a meal that they didn't even have yet. And that's having faith in God. This is a true story. This isn't made up. And this is the realities of what God is doing. And just like Nehemiah is a true story, this is not made up. He's praying and he's calling on God. And he says, now I was the cupbearer to the king. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams of the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what happens when you pray. That's what happens when you seek God. Not only did the king allow him to go, give him the time off, but he said, you know what? I'm going to give you resources so that you can get the job done. I am going to bless you with all of this stuff to build. I'm going to give you supplies. Wow, that's awesome. Could you imagine your boss saying, yeah, I'm going to give you the time off. And you know what? I'm going to give you a little extra something in your check. Because I want you to really enjoy yourself while you're away. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That's kind of what happened. He said, I'm going to help you pay for this restoration that needs to be done. And so he recognized, he didn't say, oh, you see, I'm cool, man. Look at me. I'm great. I'm able to do all this cool stuff. No, that's not what he said. What he said was, where did I go? Something happened. Help me. I don't even know where I'm at.
Right there.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I need the one before that. Yes. He didn't say that he did it himself, did he? He said, my God was with me. He said, God is with me. And whenever you experience something good in your life, give thanks to God.
Amen.
So often we just say, oh yeah, you know, oh, it was great. And we say, yeah, you know, my boss, you know, did me a favor. Or my friend, they did me a solid. They really helped me out. They hooked me up. Or we have all of these things. We attribute it to any and everything, but we don't say, God gave me favor. Thank you, Lord. This is why he was pious. He was a man of God. He had the favor of God. That's what prayer and fasting will do. He says, then I came to the governors of the princes beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. And now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. What? He just wanted the time off to go himself. But God sent him resources. He sent him officers from the army, and he sent him horsemen. He sent him out as a noble from the king's palace.
Hallelujah.
Man, that's going in style. You see what God can do in your life? 2017 can be a great year for you. But it begins with prayer and fasting. It begins with seeking God. It begins with calling upon the name of the Lord. And even when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite. Now you know that these guys, the Horabs and the Ammonites, were people who God told the Israelites have nothing to do with, right? Back in the day of Moses. He said have nothing to do with them. They are trouble, and they're going to, bad company is going to corrupt your good morals, is basically what he said. Stay away from these people. And there were several, you know, the Amorites and the Hittites, and the, you remember all that? Right, and all those Ike people, right? You know, these guys were in the list. See, they're Ikes too. And so God said, stay away from them. They're evil. They're bad news. They're trouble. They're going to be a problem, and they're going to mess you up. But did they listen? No, of course not. They all ended up palling around together. And as a result, God said, you're going to 70 years in oppression, because they began to serve gods that were not God. And so they got into trouble. And so now this guy Sanballat and Tobiah, they see that God is restoring the people. He's blessing this work. This thing is about to happen. Things are about to move forward and progress. And these guys are evil. And they do not want it to happen. And I submit, you have to watch out, because there are always going to be people who are not in favor of what you are doing. They are not going to support you. They are not going to help you. They are not going to care for you. They have their own hidden agendas. And these guys had an agenda. They wanted to be in the place of the king. And so these guys were plotting against Nehemiah. And it says it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to ask the welfare of the sons of Israel. And they said, how dare them? We conquered them. They serve us. They are beneath us. But these two guys were evil men. And so in verse 11 of chapter 2, we know that these guys strategized and they worked against the people of God. And he says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me, and I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding, his own horse. And sometimes you have to learn how to keep things to yourself, just between you and God. And you have to learn how to keep things between you and God. You're praying and you're asking God to do things. And even with all of the blessings and all of the provision and the people who are watching and they're seeing how God is prospering you and raising you up, and people are going to become jealous, people are going to become angry and upset, and they are going to have their own agendas that they're trying to accomplish, and they try to ride off of your success. And we have to be able to have eyes to see. And so we keep quiet. You don't have to say everything that God is doing in your life. You don't say everything that God has shown you. If God shows it to you, you keep it to yourself. And you begin to continue to do a good work. You continue to do a good work. The Word of God says, "But where good is, evil is always present." Evil is always present. And so Nehemiah knew this, so he said, "I'm going to keep this to myself, and I'm going to do what I need to do." And so he went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and onto the refuge gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. And so we must learn how to look at what's going on around us. Keep our eyes on what's going on around us. Survey what's happening so that we can know what to do. Before you find yourself in a situation, you don't just go running in, "Hey, come on, let's go!" Right? Like the men who were, I'm thinking of this story of Cuscos and what is that movie? The Emperor's New Groove. Yeah. And the evil witch turns all those guys into these funky creatures, you know, and she's trying to get them to chase down the emperor. And they get to this point where they're on the side of the castle, and the one says, "Let's go, men." And he jumps off the cliff and he says, "No one lives forever." And they commit suicide. And they go jumping after him, and there's no way they could survive. But that's the way the devil works. He wants you to just go rushing in without looking first. Pay attention, survey. Don't just go running into a situation. See what's happening. See what's going on. And then go in with the wisdom of God. And so he inspects the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down and its gates were consumed by fire. And so as a result, he finds himself in that situation where he's determining what needs to be done. And he says, "Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. And then I entered the valley gate again and returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach.' And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?'" And so, saints of God, as we wrap this up, I just want to say that when you try to do a work from God, there are always going to be those who rise up. And you will find yourself in the situation where things shift or things change and things don't exactly go the way you go, but know that they're in the hands of God. They're in the hands of God. You have to have a mind to build. The people had a mind to build. And if you have a mind to build, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. God will raise up people to help you. God will raise up those who are like-minded to come alongside you. God will enable you to arise and your enemies to be scattered. And he will enable you to overcome whatever obstacle that you face. And so he says, I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Saints of God, the God of heaven will give you success in 2017. God will give you success. He will enable you to overcome. And he says, therefore we, his servants, is that you?
Yes.
That's me. We, his servants, will arise and build. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you have a mind to build, that you will arise and build this year in 2017. He says, but you have no apportion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. And so we are the people of God. And so we are here not in our own stead, not for ourselves, but unto the Lord. We are here to represent God. And it doesn't matter whether you're on a job or whether you're at home or whether you're in the community or you're out and about. You represent the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we ought to be about doing a good work because we see the need and are able to pursue God with prayer and fasting for direction to survey what needs to be done and how we can be a part of making the transition for the kingdom of God's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.